This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
Caroline, I learned a new word today while prepping for this podcast. It's lethargy.
Oh, yeah? Is that like lazy menarche?
A really slow period. Slow first period. No, although you are right to associate it with menarche, which is the term for the first menstrual period. And lethargy is the term for the initial breast development.
Oh.
Now, when you could drop lethargy into casual conversation, I don't know, but I'm still glad to have a new word up in my noggin. And the reason why lethargy came up in the research today was because we're talking about asymmetrical boobs.
It's normal.
It's totally normal. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way for any person with boobs who is listening, unless you paid for them, in which case, if they are asymmetrical, I don't know, you might want your money back. But asymmetrical boobs are totally normal.
Yeah.
Breasts, boobs, breasts.
Exactly. Now, there are certain circumstances where one might be radically different than the other, in which case that could be completely different. But if we're talking about just average, normal, run-of-the-mill breast development, they're usually different sizes. And it might be obvious. It might be just like kind of like one might be a little bit smaller than you might not notice that much, but it's, don't worry, you're normal.
Yeah. And it has to do with the fact that breasts are a secondary sex trait or a physical characteristic that makes its grand debut during puberty. So, you know, guys all of a sudden sprout all this hair, the pubic hair, chest hair, facial hair, their testicles enlarge, their voice gets deeper. Girls, meanwhile, we get menarche and lethargy, the two twins, boobs in a period, and other things, of course, such as pubic hair. But with this sudden influx of hormones, specifically estrogen, when we're talking about breast development, things can get a little uneven when it comes to developing these secondary sex traits.
Yeah, and a lot of this does have to do with hormone levels. We have menstruation. And this is not just changing, like, you know, one breast being slightly different. This is kind of overall breast changes in general. During menstruation, they can get fuller and more tender. I'm sure that's very common. I've experienced that, you know, when your boobs just hurt. Mm-hmm. That's a bad day.
Or when they're huge out of nowhere.
Yeah. That's first, okay. But the boobs hurting thing? That's not as good.
If you're small busted, sometimes
you'll take it.
Sometimes that's exciting.
I think we're both blushing
for a week.
Then there's during pregnancy and nursing, obviously they get significantly larger. Menopause, they may even become lumpy, which is something I can look forward to, I guess. And if you're taking contraceptives and or gaining and losing weight, that also causes a lot of changes. But it's really during that whole puberty thing when your breasts begin to develop, and one might just, you know, like, pop out sooner than the other, which is unfortunate. But I'm sorry, but it happens.
And the simplest explanation for why it happens is that the amount of estrogen that the ovaries secrete and then are directed to that breast tissue, and specifically to the milk ducts inside of our breasts, the estrogen isn't delivered evenly. It's not like the ovaries deliver like one shot of estrogen to the left and one shot to the right. Sometimes one breast gets a little bit more than the other, and so you have some uneven growth. And one thing I also didn't know about breast development, I learned so many things about my boobs today that I'm going to try to drop into casual conversation. So that's going to be awkward this weekend. Technically, doctors don't consider breasts fully mature until after childbirth and lactation. So basically, they've done everything they could possibly do in terms of, you know, becoming engorged with milk and the milk exiting with lactation, and then the swelling going back down after you wean a baby.
And then it's time for really supportive bras.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you, in a doctor's eyes, for instance, if you just never have a kid, do you then have never fully
immature boobs? Your boobs are just immature.
Yeah.
God, grow up and get a job.
You have really sarcastic boobs. Always giving you side glances.
Well, yeah, speaking of nursing, it's also common for maybe one breast, you know, if it's the larger breast, for instance, to also produce more milk. As WebMD and pregnancy.org point out, each breast is independent. They're neighboring countries, but they are independent. So breastfeeding might not even have the same effect on each side. So what happens, you get breast engorgement, which is caused by congested blood vessels while you're nursing. But once that resolves, once your breast, the swelling reduces in your breast, one might be slightly misshapen, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Again, I'm sorry. One may stay larger or droop or flatten more. And, you know, if one ends up producing more milk than the other, then you will have one bigger breast than the other.
Mm-hmm. But again, hey.
Normal.
Boobs, not necessarily the same size. But there are, as you mentioned earlier, some conditions in which it is more of an abnormality. For instance, there's something called Poulin's syndrome, which is a congenital defect, meaning you're born with it. And it's marked by the absence of the pectoralis, which is our big chest muscle on one side of the body, and webbing of the fingers on the hand of the same size. And it was named, fun fact, for the 19th century British surgeon Alfred Poulin.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the country.
No.
Nothing to do. There's also juvenile hypertrophy, which is one breast growing significantly larger than the other. And they point out that there are some things that work and some things that don't. If you have uneven breast size, things that don't work, exercises, supplements, or diets.
Yeah, and in the case of, and we're talking about something that does work in order to fix this, I think we're speaking specifically towards something like juvenile hypertrophy, because we're not talking about just some run-of-the-mill asymmetry. One's kind of, you know, a B almost, and one's a fuller B, or whatever your letter is. This is where there is significant difference in size. There's actually a term for that. There it is. And there's actually a specific term. I'm really into specific boob terms mm-hmm. today. But when one breast is much larger than the other because of that hypertrophy, it's called gigantomastia.
That sounds unfortunate.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so in that kind of case, you might need something like a plastic surgery, a special insert in a bra. And for some women who have this, there is a feeling of having a deformity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Lori Cassis, Dr. Cassis over on WebMD. She is an associate professor of surgery at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago. She says, yeah, people really feel like they don't have a normal body part, and this whole thing becomes a body image issue, not necessarily just a self-esteem issue. People want to look normal. They want to look good in clothes, which, I mean, of course. And so if you feel like something on you is radically different than how it's supposed to be, then you're very maybe insecure.
Yeah, and that can absolutely, that psychological aspect can absolutely extend to cases of not dealing specifically with juvenile hypertrophy, but just breast asymmetry, especially when your breasts are developing. If you're younger, breasts have become so sexualized, and we have these, I think, idealized images now of what breasts should look like, these two perfect, perky things. And if they don't look perfect or like the way we think they should, then maybe we think that there's something wrong with us, and we might think that we will be negatively judged if we become intimate with someone for not being completely symmetrical.
Right. And there's also depression was also cited in a study in the Israel Medical Association Journal. They looked at the causes and characteristics of breast asymmetry in adolescents with normal endocrine profiles and sexual development. So they're trying to find out, okay, what causes these breast size issues in young girls? They looked at 11 patients. It was a small study. But they found that severe breast asymmetry may be due to congenital factors, diseases involving the breast tissue or to the effects of medical treatment, and it may have severe adverse psychological and social implications. And so they say that depression is often an accompanying symptom for young girls who have severe breast asymmetry.
Right, but a lot of times doctors will reassure younger girls that any kind of asymmetry will tend to even out by the age of 20, but it's still normal to not have the exact same left and right breast.
Yeah. It's actually so normal that Fruit of the Loom and Amazon teamed up for the Pick Your Perfect Pair bra. You can pick different cup sizes for each side. That's neat.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And they come in cute. They're like all polka dots and multicolors and stuff.
So you could have like a polka dotted boob and then a striped boob.
Right.
So
whatever you're feeling like that day. Whatever your B feels like and whatever your almost B feels like.
Mix and match. But there is one more alarming connection with asymmetry in breast that has come up starting really in March of 2006 with a study that was published in the journal Breast Cancer Research. And it's an association between breast asymmetry and developing breast cancer. But before we go any further, don't worry. This doesn't mean if you have uneven breasts, you are necessarily bound to develop breast cancer, but some studies have uncovered a link.
Yeah, the researchers went into the study thinking that a larger difference in breast size could be an independent risk factor for developing breast cancer because they found that women who later developed breast cancer had more asymmetry than those who didn't develop it. But at the end of it all, you know, kind of lowering the alarm, asymmetry is just one of many traits that influence breast cancer risk because there's all of these risks, you know, genetic, environmental, whatever, whatever, that this is just one of the many possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, you have things like, obviously, a family history of breast cancer, a lower age at menarche, later menopause, later first pregnancies. And the reason why these University of Liverpool researchers were looking at breast symmetry to begin with, this was, they were looking at it among 252 women in one group and then mammograms from 252 women in a control group. And they were looking at breast size because of the influence of estrogen on breast cancer development. So they are concerned that because asymmetry might indicate sort of a lower tolerance for disruptive hormones, like that rush of estrogen that will hit at puberty and stimulate breast development, they think that perhaps there might be some kind of connection there. But again, it's one factor among many when it comes to developing breast cancer.
Right. And there was a different study. U.S. genetics company 23andMe examined the link, which is adorable. 23andMe. It just sounds like it's like a sitcom from the 80s or something. But anyway,
I'm your friendly genome.
But yeah, so this genetics company examined the link between breast size and cancer. And Britain's National Health Service took a look at this study and basically said that it oversimplified all the different factors because breast cancer is such a complex condition.
Yeah, because you'll see there was a headline in the Daily Mail reporting on this study that said, and now I'm paraphrasing this headline, but it was something along the lines of bigger bra size, bigger risk of breast cancer.
Yeah, no sensationalism there.
Yeah, to which so many women probably clutched their boobs in horror. But yeah, when it comes to these explorations of breast cancer, breast size, and symmetry versus asymmetry, it is important to look beyond just the headlines that you might see. But to close things out, since we're talking about breast asymmetry, why do we care so much about a little bit of unevenness? Like, well, why worry about it in the first place?
Well, we're probably worried what we look like naked, honestly, or in the mirror.
That could be. It could be. It would be nice, though, if that were not the case. If we just never worried what we looked like naked.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it has something to do with our innate attraction to symmetrical things. There's like within our biology, mm-hmm. we are drawn to symmetry, are we not?
Yeah, it's supposed to mean that you're healthier.
Yeah.
Or that you're Elizabeth Hurley. I don't know. She's very symmetrical face-wise.
It signals being related to Elizabeth Hurley. Yes. And and your reproductive fitness. So you see all these studies that come out saying that more symmetrical faces are rated as more attractive than non-symmetrical faces. Although that doesn't mean there was a blog that I was reading over at Science 2.0, and it's called Rogue Neuron, and they were pointing out that just because something might be more attractive doesn't necessarily make it more sexually attractive. Sometimes it's more of the difference, a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say a flaw, a unique something or other. Distinguishing.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yes, a je ne sais quoi that,
related to your boobs.
Yes. Well, I'm talking more about faces.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully someone's not staring so closely at my boobs that they can see the je ne sais quoi of my left and my right.
Cover up that je ne sais quoi, Kristen.
I'm always wearing sheer tops.
So speaking of symmetry and attractiveness, there are two 1995 studies. This is a while ago, but it's just funny that apparently 1995 was the year of symmetry. This UT Austin study found that people were more attracted to figures with low waist-to-hip ratios who were also very symmetrical in the boob region.
Aw, man. Come on, UT Austin. We've just spent how long, like 15 minutes or something, calming people's nerves about asymmetrical breasts.
I don't know. Maybe things have changed since grunge went out.
Perhaps.
But yeah, so men of the grunge era really actually used both waist-to-hip ratios and breast asymmetry in judging attractiveness and being willing to develop romantic relationships.
Now, I did not. You found this study.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling, though, that because I've seen other studies that on facial symmetry versus asymmetry, and they show participants all these computer-generated images of something like a really symmetrical face and then an asymmetrical face, which would not exist in nature.
They show
almost,
you the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, it kind of feels sometimes like the researchers are sort of like breathing down participants next, being like, because, you know, if you have like one, I don't know,
one boob that's 3 feet out from the other one.
I'm going to go ahead and take a stand on this study and say, you know what, maybe the symmetry or asymmetry was exaggerated.
Could be.
In those images.
Absolutely. But so this shows that men of this very specific study, Kristen.
It's true.
Men in Austin, Texas of the grunge era found women who were symmetrical more attractive than women who were ridiculously asymmetrical.
There we go. Okay. I'd buy those results.
Okay.
But when it comes to day to day and our breasts, when we are naked, you know, because this does come down a lot to being naked. There were a lot of advice letters that I ran across while we were looking for information on this from younger girls in particular who were concerned about what a partner might think about some asymmetry. To which I say to you and all, it is A-okay and it is normal. And if one breast being slightly smaller or bigger, however way you look at it, glass half full or glass half empty, is a deal breaker, then kick them to the curb anyway.
Yeah. And then go buy a bra on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
From Fruit of the Loom.
Or just don't wear one at all.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, we don't want to tell you what to do with your bras.
No. So that's why breasts are so often uneven. And if you have any stories you would like to share about asymmetry and breasts, or any advice, if we have younger listeners out there, if you're still concerned about this issue, we'd be more than happy to hear from you. You can send us a letter. momstuff@discovery.com is our email address. And in the meantime, I've got an email here from a summer short, one of my favorite summer shorts that we did, in fact, on nude beaches. And this is from Alicia, and she writes, I dated a guy whose family owned and lived at a nudist park at a lake in New Hampshire. We often referred to him as the Naked Republican because his family was very conservative, very blue-collar, and they had a nudist park complete with church on Sunday morning. It seems like it shouldn't be possible, but once there, it's easier to see that nothing is sexual. Their family has gone very far to make sure that it is a family-friendly park, despite the fact that nobody wears clothes. There is a line between sexy and naked, and I have to say, they did it. The park was started when my ex's grandfather came home from World War II with some kind of infection that the doctor said would be best if not covered. So he bought a huge tract of land in New Hampshire that had a lake, and there the park started. There are boats, tennis courts, volleyball courts, and many cabins to stay in. You can't wear a bathing suit because that is sexy. You can wear cover-ups or, as it still baffles me, you can wear a jacket and nothing else. Disrobing in public is a no-no, and you do not ever forget your towel. There's no alcohol on the premises, and it is a place where single people are selectively allowed. This isn't a meat market. Oh, man. Alicia, thanks so much for sending in that story.
And here's one from Britt on our celiac disease episode. She says, celiac runs in my family, and it's been an eye-opening experience. Sometimes it gets annoying to hear people think you're just following some fad diet when you're really advocating for your health. I was surprised that you left out some of the more random items in food that contain gluten. And this is an amazing list, I just want to tell you. Okay. Lip gloss. Envelope glue. Processed ham. Anything dusted with flour, such as latex gloves, wine corks, even some pills, and finally art supplies like paint and clay. She says, while not important to people just going on a diet, it is important for people with celiac to investigate the ingredients and keep talking to their doctors. And apparently avoiding processed ham.
Stay away from the canned hams.
So thank you, Britt.
When the holidays roll around soon, do not give canned hams.
No.
To your gluten-free friends.
Or me. I'll just go ahead and put that out there.
Or envelopes.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I could use tape. Anyway, so send us an email, momstuff@discovery.com. Of course, is where you can send them, and you can always find us on Facebook. Like us over there if you would, and follow us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast. And you can even join us on Tumblr, stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com. And if you would like to get a little smarter this week, why don't you head to our website? It's howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.